anyone can follow a program, anyone can follow a meal plan. Having a trainer, even just for a little bit, hiring a trainer for like a month or whatever, it's so important because it truly shows you how strong you are, how much you can actually push yourself.
But it was kind of a static program. I was doing the same thing for 6 months, essentially. Okay. My strength is discipline. I will show up every day and I will do the work.
If it's something that you really want to achieve, you can make the time.
I think there's a lot of people out there that would say, I have this high pressure job, so I don't have time for this.
And even just a 30 minute workout, you don't understand like how much of an amazing workout you can get in 30 minutes. To anyone that says that it's impossible to see results in 4, 6, 8 weeks, they just don't want it hard enough. They don't want it bad enough, okay? Because Sylvia is proof that in 4 weeks, you can change the shape of your glutes.
Yes.
Because you got a nice little glute pump going on.
I'm working on it.
Wait, can we just go over your pictures real quick?
Yes.
Because I feel like it's been, what, 2.5 weeks since we saw your progress, took your pictures. Mm-hmm. I feel like some time went by. So we just need to like refresh our memory with the amount of glute growth that has happened. So look at that.
Ah!
This was 4 weeks. And then this was 6 weeks.
Like truly incredible.
And I feel like now we're at 8 weeks and we still haven't taken...
I know.
The progress pictures.
I know.
Which I'm
excited. I can't wait at 8, at 10, at 12. Like, what can I build?
Okay.
I was blown away looking at those pictures. That is not... And that's why taking the photos is so important, because you put the work in and you're there and you're early in the morning going to the gym, hoping to make the progress, and just seeing it was... so mind-blowing.
And also, not that you don't have the discipline to, like, I know even if you saw the pictures and maybe there wasn't a big difference, it just, there's something that lights up in you that just makes you want it even more.
Exactly.
To like reach the goal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, Sylvia, Miss Sylvia, how do we know each other? Do you want to tell people the story of how we met?
It's a funny story. So this just goes to show that there's good people everywhere. So I was living in Miami. I was looking for a roommate. There was a Facebook group that I posted on. I had a room open. And
do you want to give the name of the Facebook group page?
It's called Brickle Babes. It's Brickle Facebook group. I wasn't even living in Brickle, but I was like, I'll give this a shot, see what happens.
Yeah.
And so I posted my room on there, and Mel reached out and came over and visited and saw the place. And there was just instantly so much connection and synchronicity and things we had in common. And so she ended up moving in, what, a week later?
Like a week later, yeah. And we're like, okay, this is happening. Just like, I saw two places prior to going to your place, but just... meeting you and Grace, I was like, no, there's something there. I need to move in with these girls. I feel like I gained so much from just like getting to know you guys and being around you. So I'm so blessed that happened.
Me too.
And the fact that we're both into fitness, this is like a big check for me when it comes to friendships. I need to know that the person, like the people that I hang out with, they care about their health, their body, and their mind, essentially, because fitness is just more than just training your body. It's also training your mind. So,
and I was into fitness, but meeting you and getting exposed to the work that you're doing and the community that you've built just skyrocketed it, as you can see from the photos.
How long have you been in fitness for?
I've been in various phases of fitness for a very long time.
Okay.
I had my spin phase. I had my, like, you know, workout class phase. I had my yoga phase. So I've done a lot of different types of workouts. What I loved about starting to do the types of workouts that you do and that you share on your app, which are so incredible, was that it really allows you to sculpt and dream up the body that you want. Mm-hmm. And you can work towards that. You can say, I want a juicy booty. You can say, I want, you know, my arms to
my
be toned.
To look
I
want to
have, you know, broader shoulders that make me look more confident. Like, it truly is just like such a fun exercise in just designing the body that you want.
Yeah. And I'm so happy you joined the Sweat and Glow app. That makes me very happy that you're on it and that you saw progress from it. But let's also keep in mind, we did do, so this is a big thing for me. Like, I always speak about this. Anyone can make a program, anyone can write a meal plan, right? And you can follow it, but sometimes going into fitness, and you were training, like you said, you did a lot of spinning, you were doing yoga and classes, and how long were you doing strength training for?
I was doing strength training for probably about 6 months before I met you.
Okay.
Yes.
And were you training with someone or?
I wasn't. I didn't have a trainer. I had a virtual trainer that I met with a couple times, and she designed a program for me, which was a great place to get started.
Absolutely.
But it was kind of a static program. I was doing the same thing for 6 months, essentially. Okay. And I wasn't really pushing myself. Like, I had these mental limits. This is the amount of weight I can lift. These are the workouts I do. And you just helped me push way past those limits. And I just surprised myself so many times. Wow, I can do this?
I was so impressed. But I think if you've never had an actual, so you had a coach. Essentially, she was a coach, right? You'd meet up with her once a week. But one thing is having a coach. Another thing is having that person next to you, a trainer. Like you said, you didn't increase the weight because maybe you thought that was your limit. So how do you know what your limit can be unless you have that person there to show you what you're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like going back to what I said, anyone can follow a program, anyone can follow a meal plan. Having a trainer, even just for a little bit, hiring a trainer for like a month or whatever, it's so important because it truly shows you how strong you are, how much you can actually push yourself. And just as human beings, we always think we're doing enough, but we're not really, we're not putting 100% in. Right. We're probably only putting 20% in, 40% in.
Yeah. So, and your mind tricks you because it wants to keep you safe.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, this is an edge. We don't want to go here. This is uncharted territory. And sometimes you need someone to give you that invitation to step into the next step. And I think it's also about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. My strength is discipline. I will show up every day and I will do the work. My weakness was dreaming bigger and just seeing what was possible. And so that's what I needed the support with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, our human nature is to have safety, right? Because if we do something wrong, like it's just that anxiety or fear that comes along with us being human is normal because it's a shield to protect us. But sometimes we just need to put it aside and know that it's okay to test your limits. Obviously, I always say form over everything. So as long as your form is on point, grab the weight, increase the weight. I see girls doing 40-pound hip thrusts for like 6 months. And like, you know, this Mel, the hip thrust on your app is like very easy. But okay, how much weight are you using? How long have you been using it for? And even just as a beginner going into fitness and doing compound movements. So compound movements are using a lot of muscles in your body. You're exerting a lot of strength when you're doing big compound movements, such as squat, hip thrust, deadlifts. But those specific exercises, we underestimate so much how much we can actually lift.
Absolutely.
And that's where we get most of the progress is coming essentially from those compound movements. And then of course, you know, isolated movements. Mm-hmm. And for example, now that you're following the Sweat and Glow app and the workouts in there, what are certain exercises you feel have made a massive difference when it comes to your training? Maybe you feel your glutes a little bit more activated compared to previously.
All of them. The one that stands out to me is really the hip thrust. And then you would design it where you do a hip thrust and then you do pulses and the burn, let me tell you. And I would just feel like so much. I would leave doing that workout feeling like, wow, I accomplished so much today.
You feel like your ass got like 10 times bigger
after. And then there's also some very targeted ones, especially like the cable kicks for me was huge. And I was able to push myself to do much more weight than I thought I could do. When I first started, I could barely do 10 pounds and now I'm up to like 30 pounds.
Yes.
So that one's been amazing for just that really sharp targeted feeling versus the hip thrust is like the entire glute, you know, almost full body feeling.
Absolutely. But let's also keep in mind that the lifting, the weights, going to the gym is just 30% of the equation, okay? Yes. There's so much more that comes along with progress. It's not only about the workouts itself. There's so many more changes that Sylvia has incorporated in these past, well, we're at week 8. But in the past 4-6 weeks that you saw that progress, I do want to dive into that a little bit more and see exactly what changes you've made along the way. So first off, this is very important. People need to know this. What is your job? What do you do?
So I'm a chief marketing officer at a security company. Been there for 5 years. I started as the 4th employee. We're about 250 people now. So it's been just a wild ride of growth and development. And I've reinvented myself as a leader many times over. So it's a very involved, high stress job. But I find that balancing that with the workouts and other things, which we'll get into, mm-hmm. has been just the two complement each other. I think there's a lot of people out there that would say, I have this high pressure job, so I don't have time for this. And it's like, the work is going to expand into whatever time you allow it. So you have to choose what you're going to prioritize your time on. Exactly. And I choose to prioritize this because it makes me feel more confident and more powerful, and it makes me better at my work. It really does. The two complement each other. I'm not sacrificing one for the other.
Absolutely. And yes, the title you have as a CMO, very high pressure environment. I'm sure you go through a lot of stress. You go on a lot of calls throughout the day. So that already itself, just like the brain drain that comes mm-hmm. along with it. By the time you're done with work, I can see that there could be exhaustion that comes along with it. And you're probably like, I don't want to go to the gym. But what do? You get your workout in early as fuck in the morning. Yes. At like what? Do you go at 6 or 7? What time do you usually go?
So I started going at 7 every day. And I remember actually the day you moved in, I was up at 7 every day and you were up at 7 every day. And I was like, we're going to get along.
Yes.
And then I've just been going earlier and earlier. Like yesterday I woke up at 5:15 and we did a little yoga on the balcony and then we went and got our lift in. And it was like, I feel like I'm cheating time. I feel like I'm ahead of the world.
Yes. You get so much done. And I was, when I used to live in LA, now that I moved to Miami, I feel like I was already 3 hours ahead mm-hmm. from where I was at. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm waking up at 5, I feel like I can get so much accomplished.
Yes.
And the feeling is amazing. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's like you have to the people that say, I don't have time. My job is stressful. I work so many hours. You make the time. You can make the time if it's something that you truly care about, if you want to see results, if it's a goal, if it's something that you really want to achieve. You can make the time, and even just a 30-minute workout. You don't understand like how much of an amazing mm-hmm. workout you can get in 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
I sometimes have those rushed workouts Same. Where I'm like, 30 minutes, okay, I have to like get back on a call or something. I get my workout in and I'm super intentional about it. I put my phone away, it's on silent. Mm-hmm. Actually, I put my settings to beast mode.
What's beast mode? Tell me about this.
Instead of like do not disturb, I like created my own. I'm like, okay, I'm setting it to beast mode because I go in beast mode when I'm working
out. I'm going
to
do that. I love that.
I'll just show you where I put it in. But yeah, that's on my phone. And I'm super intentional with my time when it comes to my workouts, obviously with work. And there you go. It just shows you like you wake up earlier, you get your workout in, and that's setting the mood for the day because mm-hmm. then you already put a lot of hard work into that workout. And you're going to be able to tackle the day in a less stressful way.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. If I was to work out in the afternoon or in the evening, it just wouldn't happen. So I choose to be a morning person. I'm not a natural morning person, by the way. I'm a natural night person.
Oh, really?
But I choose to be a morning person. And now I say I'm a morning person, but it's not because I just magically wake up at 5:15, you guys. It's hard every day.
Exactly.
And I do it anyway.
And I'm sure at first it had to be, because now it's second nature to you, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm sure at the beginning it was like, okay, I am a night person. I want to become a morning person. What do I need to do? I need to set my alarm 5, 6, whatever it is. And I cannot snooze that button. I'm going to be committed to this.
Once.
And I'm going to do it for, they usually say a habit can stick to you within 21 days. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit more than that. Plus, you can commit to doing it for 3 months, but then if you stop, it's like, where's this going? Like, why are you?
You have to keep recommitting to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like you do it for 21 days and then magically it's easy. It's still going to be hard every time. And there's still going to be times where things are stressful or you're traveling and you're going to want to fall back and you have to just keep recommitting to it.
Yeah. And like for me now, it's exactly what you did. You had to turn. I am a morning person, but getting my workout in like first thing in the morning never really happened. So I committed to that for 3 months. And now that it's like, it's second nature for me I have to get my workout in. It's a non-negotiable. As long as I get it in at any time of the day, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So it can be morning, it can be afternoon, it can be at night. It's a non-negotiable. So I'm going to get it done. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that is not used to this, where it's just like, oh yeah, I'll go get my workout in. I know I'm going to get my workout in. If you're not used to this, you have to commit to an hour during the day where you schedule it in, and it is non-negotiable, and mm-hmm. you have to show up for that time every single time. And once it becomes second nature, you won't have to worry, because it's like brushing your teeth. Like, you know you're going to brush your teeth. Like, you don't want to go throughout the day without brushing your teeth and having a smelly.
That's how working out feels now, though.
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing.
I feel gross when I don't work
out. Same. I feel like anxious and I feel like I haven't done the work. And when I work out in the morning, it's like I could not accomplish anything else for the rest of the day and I've already won.
Yeah.
And that's the type of energy you want going into your work.
Absolutely. I love that. So morning routine, getting your workout in, and you're a busy freaking girl, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. So another thing, when it comes to seeing results with your glute growth, what have you changed with your diet? Is there something that you've switched up in your diet?
So much. This was huge.
Okay.
So
Give us the juice.
I was not eating enough protein before, and I was not eating enough in general.
Okay.
So I was at around maybe 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 calories a day.
Wow.
Which for me was way too low. But, and so what I changed is, and I was probably getting 70 to 80 grams of protein a day. And then I went up to 100 grams. I'm going to commit to 100 grams of protein. And then I was doing about 1,500 calories. And I've recently raised that to 120 grams of protein. And I'm doing about 1,700 to 1,900 calories. Depending on if I'm lifting that day or not. And that's made a huge difference. I would go to my workout before and I would feel drained after the first workout. And now I go and I finish the whole workout.
And you still
and I'm
have
like,
more
why
energy.
Do I feel like I could do more?
Yeah.
And so the nutrition piece has been huge. And I have also very much focused on whole foods. I don't do protein shakes. I don't do protein bars. I very much want to get my protein from whole foods.
Yeah.
And that's harder because you can't, there's no like data point that's going to show up in protein grams or something, but the composition of the food makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. And even though the nutritional label might say that there's 50 grams of protein in whatever you're eating, that's just an estimate. Like, is it 100% accurate? No. And when you're cooking your food, it does lose its nutritional value. But if you're already getting it from whole foods, as opposed to getting it from protein shakes or protein bars, which if you go and look at the label, you see all these ingredients that are listed in it. And like, yeah, you might be getting the protein, but what else are you putting in your body? You mm-hmm. might be putting something in that's slowing down your metabolism. You're not able to digest it properly. You're going to get inflamed. Like for me, for example, when I used to have a lot of protein shakes, I just remember getting hives all over my body. I got super bloated. My acne, my face was breaking out tremendously. And it turns out it was the whey protein. Mm. So I'm very happy that you're getting everything from clean, whole foods. Those are superfoods, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what gives you the energy. That's mm-hmm. what's going to help you build muscle. But I see people using protein shakes as a meal replacement. Like some people will have two protein shakes as their meal. And it's like, what are you doing? This is so bad for your gut. This is not going to allow you to reach your goal. And mm-hmm. I want more people to know this just because supplement companies, they like to label protein shakes as a meal. And it's not a meal.
Yeah.
It's a
Some
snack.
Of them are labeled meal replacement.
Yeah, meal replacement. Ah. No. And also for the, you said you were consuming 1,100 calories. Mm-hmm. So where did you get that number from?
So I track all the food that I eat on an app called Chronometer.
Okay.
C-R-O, not C-H-R-O. Chronometer, C-R-O, Chronometer. And that's incredible. I cook a lot at home and I have recipes that I love. And so you can import a recipe and it will just populate all the food in that recipe. And so I use that, you know, periodically. I don't necessarily need to track everything I eat forever, but it is very helpful to do, at least for a period of time, to just notice. And I right now have this very specific 120 gram protein goal, and it's incredibly helpful for me to have some tool like that that can help me see how I'm pacing throughout the day. And then maybe at dinner, I'm like, okay, I need an extra serving of this or that. Very, very helpful, easy to use. I absolutely love it.
I love that you're bringing this up, that you said you're not going to be tracking your food for the rest of your life, but right now you are, just to get a better understanding what your portions should look like, what your protein should look like. And I am someone, so I used to have multiple eating disorders, and I noticed that when I did track my food, it kind of instilled this anxiety in me where I started tracking it. And then every time I would go out, like if I ate sushi, I would eat a certain amount of rolls. And then I'd get back home and I would start freaking out because I didn't put it in my fitness, because I use my Fitness Pal, which you can sync it to the Sweat and Glow app. But I realized I was just becoming obsessed to the point that it was driving me crazy, because sometimes I would freak out like, wait, did I have 8 or 6 rolls? And it would just, I couldn't sleep because of the anxiety of it, which sounds crazy, but for some people, it might create anxiety and obsession. But if you do it the proper way, where you're just maybe just, you want to track your meals for 4 weeks. And then from there, once you have an understanding of what your meals look like, okay, we can put that, the macro counter, the calorie counter away. Okay, Sylvia, so we went over your nutrition, we went over your morning habit, we went over your workouts. I now want to know, So this is huge. This is very huge because I have a lot of girls on the Sweating Glow app that ask me, is it okay if I drink while I'm trying to see progress, while I'm trying to better my fitness journey? What are your thoughts, and have you been drinking for the past 4-6 weeks that you've been working on growing your glutes?
Such a great question. I'm so passionate about this. So not drinking, or drinking much less alcohol, was a huge part of this transformation as well. And I used to drink very often, glass of wine when I get home from work, you know, going out on the weekend to dinner and having a few glasses of wine, things like that. And I really have stopped drinking the last month and a half. And that's made a very big difference in terms of the results as well. And I'm not opposed to drinking. I do still drink if there's a special occasion. If it's my birthday, I'm definitely drinking, but it's just not like a part of my daily routine anymore or my weekend routine anymore.
But what's crazy is that what was part of your daily routine was to come back from work after a very stressful, long day, have that glass of wine to unwind, thinking that that was gonna make you feel less stressed and feel better, right?
Right.
And I'm sure also now tracking the fact that you aren't having that glass of wine because you found other ways to maybe reduce your stress levels. I'm sure you're getting better sleep. I'm sure you're waking up in the morning with more energy, because alcohol, at the end of the day, alcohol is literally poison in our body. Mm-hmm. Alcohol prevents us from breaking down the nutrients that we're eating. So you can be on a super healthy diet, but even just that one glass of wine that you're having every day for that entire week, it's going to affect your progress. It's going to affect the way you're metabolizing the food. It also prevents you from burning fat. It reduces your serotonin levels in your brain. So there's just so many things that come along with drinking alcohol. And I'm like you, I will never give up alcohol. I can never say I will never drink again, because I do enjoy a glass of champagne, or actually no, I don't like champagne anymore. There's too much sugar in it. I do enjoy a nice gin and soda water with extra lemon in it to keep me hydrated, even if I know I'm putting poison in my body, because it's nice to enjoy that when you're going on a vacation, when you're out with friends. Like, I like those little things, those little vices in life. It's always good to have, but it's the moderation or the balance of it. So I don't know about you, but now it's like I will literally schedule when I will be drinking. Like if it's an occasion, if special occasion, I'm like, you know what? Marking in my calendar, I'm gonna be drinking this day. But if it's like 3 months away from then, and I know I have a goal, and it's not only related to fitness, the not drinking alcohol helps me so much, even with staying focused with work, because it all goes together, it all intertwines, right? Yeah. So when you're not drinking, you have a clear mind, you feel better, you're more energetic, and that energy will transcend with every other thing that you're doing. It's not only about fitness, it's also just having that motivate. I feel like you have more motivation in the morning to go and do and be more productive. Like after a weekend, if you're not drinking and you're staying sober, those Mondays, I look forward to those Mondays.
Me too.
When I used to drink a lot, I hated Monday because I'm like, oh, I'm hungover, I don't feel like going to work, I need to deal with the world. And now it's like, I look forward to my Monday. Agreed. I can't wait for my Monday to happen.
It's like, instead of breaking yourself down all weekend, you built yourself up and you're ready for an incredible week. There were a couple things that really led me to stop drinking. One was tracking my food and my macros and my calories. And I would realize, wait, this drink has 250 calories in it and I'm getting nothing from it.
Yeah.
I was like, this seems like a waste. And then the other thing, I'm so glad you mentioned sleep, because I use the Oura Ring to track my sleep. And
what is
I
it?
Would
it's a
Oura Ring, it's O-U-R-A Oura. Love this for tracking sleep.
Okay.
I track activity and stuff in it as well, but sleep is the main reason why I got it. And I would notice I have a glass of wine and I would just see my sleep metrics crash. It'd be like, your heart rate was elevated all night and your recovery was terrible. And I was like, so it was just a couple data points that helped me really notice the impact of drinking. And I would feel it in my body too, waking up after even just having a glass of wine, you feel different. So you don't need the ring to tell you that, but it helped me just kind of see the data points saying, oh, this is really impacting sleep.
Yeah, it interferes with your REM sleep, and also it's sedating you. It's not even allowing you to sleep. It's like, even with sleeping pills, people think like, oh, I'm taking a sleeping peel, I'm gonna have a great sleep. It's sedating you. That doesn't necessarily mean you're getting great sleep.
Exactly.
So that's great that you have this. I need to look into it. I feel like I should have one myself, because I don't know how my sleep is. So
you'll know.
Okay.
Yeah, I have friends that say, oh, I'm traveling, I need my glass of wine on the plane to fall asleep. And I would be like, no, I've tried this. Trust me, that is not sleep.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That is not good sleep for sure.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing living in the United States, because I lived in Italy for a very long time, and I have to say, one big major culture shock, especially for like coming here, was seeing the amount of alcohol teens consume. Not only teens, even just regular people, how much alcohol is consumed. But it is also, let's be honest, alcohol is in every social situation that we go to. We see it everywhere. You have friends over, there's alcohol. You go to a dinner, we order alcohol. You watch a movie, everyone's holding a glass of whiskey, a glass of wine. So it's kind of become the norm, but it's important to like break that norm and understand that you are a normal person, even if you're not drinking. Will your friends see you differently at the beginning if you're going out and let's say you drink every weekend and then one weekend you decide not to drink because you have a goal? And by reaching that goal, removing alcohol is the best thing you could possibly do for your body and your mind. Those friends need to be accepting of it and encouraging and not make fun of you because you're not drinking or look at you weird. I think people that drink all the time are actually the weird people, because when I was consuming alcohol, I used to be a big drinker, like really big drinker. And we can have another episode where we talk about this because I know we have a lot to share of how much we used to drink in our past.
Me too.
But when I used to drink a lot, I knew why I was drinking so much is because I was trying to numb myself because I wasn't happy with who I was. I wasn't happy with my life. I wasn't happy with the current job that I had. So if you're consuming all this alcohol and you need it in every social event that you go to, why are you numbing yourself? I now enjoy going to an event, being sober, actually being present in the moment and not having like I said, I do like to drink and I like to get that little feeling where I let myself loose a bit, but I actually like, because I feel I found that confidence and I'm happy with who I am and I'm secure with who I am, I don't need alcohol to mask myself anymore.
And you talk about taking the edge off. Like, one, alcohol does not take the edge off. It just delays it and then makes it worse.
Yes.
And then it shows up the next morning. Edge is still there. It's just worse. And then also, I think the edge is good. The edge tells you what you need to change. The edge tells you where you might need to take something away or add something. The edge show, like, if the edge is a fire, use that. Use the edge. Don't numb it. Don't hide it away. Don't delay it till the next day where it comes back even worse. It's so useful.
Yeah, or maybe comments back in the day too, I'd be like, oh, I'm anxious about maybe seeing someone and it's like, I need to have a drink. And now, you know what? Even if I was to be anxious, I feel like my anxiety has definitely decreased a lot since I removed alcohol from my life. But even if, let's say I was anxious to meet up with someone or I was going on a date with a guy for the first time, I like those emotions, that experience of having that kind of like anxiety or butterflies or whatever it is that you're experiencing. It's normal. We're human. These emotions are part of who we are and it's important to accept it, feel it, and then find a way, like if it's really holding you back with maybe interacting, you have social anxiety, then you need to take the necessary steps to go and take maybe a class where you can, I don't know, an improv class where you're literally putting yourself out there, or like a speech class, something that can help you. When people use alcohol as an excuse, like my social anxiety and this and that, find a way to fix it. The alcohol is not the solution to the problem. If anything, it's going to make your life with time worse. So I'm glad that we're on the same level when it comes to drinking alcohol, because that we're roommates now, and I feel like if you were drinking all the time, not that it, I'm doing me, so I, you know, I'm doing my life, but at the same time, it's like who you live with, it kind of, you feed off of them, right?
Absolutely.
So maybe one weekend or every weekend, if you were to go out or I was to go out, I can promise you slowly I'd pull you in, I'd drag you in with me, and then I would not make you focus on where you want to be with your life.
Yeah, like don't underestimate the influence that the people around you have on you.
Yeah.
It is significant. And that's why I'm so grateful to be living with you, because I think we just complement each other and push each other forward in really good ways.
Yes, absolutely. And this goes to your environment creates pretty much who you are, determines your future. And I feel a lot of people, they're always trying to find a problem that's wrong in their life that they think this little thing is gonna change my life, or maybe if I change my job or move out of this house. Like if there's your environment, the people you surround yourself with are going to determine who you are going to become as a person, because at the end of the day, yes, you are gonna spend a lot of time alone to find out, to figure out who you are, but we're also interacting, we're humans, right? We love social interaction. So when you are interacting with those people, whoever they are, your friends, your family, they are going to impact your life. And if they're not supporting you, if they're constantly bringing you down, I can promise you, you're never going to find that self-worth. You're never going to feel good about yourself, and you're never going to get that stimulus that you need from people that are actually doing good in their life, because they don't know any better. So if you feel like your environment doesn't suit you, is not giving you what you need, I highly recommend to just move somewhere else. Yes. Get out of there. Don't let it hold you back.
Yeah, I think changing your environment is one of the most powerful ways to change yourself. Because it is difficult when you have all these forces and patterns in your life to change every single one. That takes an enormous amount of willpower. It can absolutely be done. But I find that moving locations is such an incredible way to land somewhere new and ask yourself, who am I? Who do I want to be? Who am I really? It's just like an incredible way to find who you really are.
Absolutely. And I think the scariest thing that most people deal with is just the fear that comes along with it, right? The unknown. Mm-hmm. But the unknown is good, because mm-hmm. sometimes when you're so scared of letting go of something, right? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's not speaking to your mom or dad anymore, which it's okay. Sometimes even if it's blood related, doesn't necessarily mean that those people are good for you. Sorry to say this, but it is the truth. Like, some people use the excuse, oh, well, it's my dad and it's my mom. But what if that person is causing so much pain inside mm-hmm. of you because they don't know any better? And it's like, what, you're just gonna deal with it for the rest of your life? Like, no, mm-hmm. it's good to let go. And every time I've let go of things that no longer served me, there was a better door that opened and there was more opportunity mm-hmm. and I came across people that actually brought more value to my life. So I think letting go is obviously a very hard thing to do, but sometimes you just gotta like just move on.
It feels like jumping off a cliff.
Yes, it
every
does.
Every single time.
But how much weight is then lifted off yeah. of you?
When and
you...
there's always something beautiful on the other side. And you'll always look back and say, wow, I'm so glad I did
this. Yes. I mean, that was for us not so long ago.
Exactly, so. Yes.
But we should definitely talk more about this, so your environment and letting go and the fear that comes along with it, because I feel like both of us, we've been through a lot in terms of when it comes to letting go of something that we thought we needed, and then we let go of it, and there was just, like you said, there was the rainbow on the other side, mm-hmm. the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So we should definitely touch up on this topic. Mm-hmm. So Sylvia, when it comes to your water intake, I know, mm-hmm. I remember speaking to you like a few months ago, and you told me that you didn't drink a lot of water in the past, right? How much water were you drinking?
Maybe 30 ounces, maybe 20.
No way.
There would be days I would go the entire day and it'd be the end of the day and I had drank no water, zero. And yeah, it was bad. It was definitely hurting my progress.
But did you feel your energy were your energy levels low when you were consuming that little amount of water?
I felt like yes. And it was also water plus the very low calories I was eating.
Okay.
But I felt, yeah, like I felt foggy. I felt tired. I felt not clear. It was not good.
And how much water are you drinking now?
So my goal now is about 65 ounces a day.
Okay.
And that's just, if I do a heavy workout, I need more. If I do a hot yoga, I need a lot more. And so that's just like my new baseline that I'm trying to hit right now.
Absolutely. Oh my God. The phrase that I use the most is always like, stay hydrated as fuck, hydrate. Or I'll take a video of Horace where he's drinking his water and I'll make a little story saying hydrated as fuck. Hydration is everything. And the fact that you were drinking 30 ounces a day is crazy to me. And there are people that are drinking only a glass of water a day. Mm-hmm. When you're drinking that little amount of water, your body, once again, is not able to process the nutrients that you're eating. You're not lubricating your joints. So if you're drinking that little amount of water, you're getting a workout in, and the next day or the next 2 days you're experiencing massive amount of soreness, is definitely related to the lack of water that you're putting in your body. Like, that helps you with, I feel like if I didn't drink the water that I drink, I would be super tight right now, because you know me, I don't stretch too much. And I know this isn't a good thing to say because I shouldn't be promoting this, but I'm just being honest. I am someone that doesn't stretch that much, and I can promise you the water is saving me mm-hmm. when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. I do get a lot less sore now. It's interesting you say that mm-hmm. because before I would do a heavy lower body workout and I'd be sore for 3 days, and then I wouldn't be able to do another workout because I was like, I can't even move. And the water was absolutely a big part of that.
And then the water too, it's like now that you're drinking more, I'm sure you also noticed that you're using the restroom a little bit more often.
Yes.
But that's normal. Your body needs to get used to it. And then also if you are losing, if you feel like you're drinking a lot of water, losing a lot of liquid, that means your electrolytes are low. So just balancing it out, even if you don't want to go spend money on maybe a supplement to get some electrolytes or an electrolyte powder, you can always use some Himalayan salt, sea salt, throw it in your water. That is actually the best pre-workout out there. Put aside the, what is it called? What do most people use? I just don't use pre, oh, it's pre-workout.
Yeah.
Most people use pre-workout.
C4.
I don't know this because I've literally, I would get really bad anxiety and shakes when I use pre-workouts.
And the itchiness and the
shingles. I hate it. No, the best pre-workout out there, if you want something natural and not, you don't want to spend a lot of money, water and Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Do you want to talk about supplements?
Yes. Yes. Let's get into it, girl. I need to know. Give me the juice because I know there's a specific supplement that you started taking.
Yes.
And it has made drastic changes.
It has. So you encouraged me to start taking creatine. I've been taking 5 grams of creatine per day, and that has been an absolute game changer as well. Like the amount of energy that I feel in my workouts, like that feeling of ending the workout and feeling like a superhuman and like I could do a whole other workout, creatine has been a huge part of that. And I've noticed the difference absolutely. And it's been one of the most, I think there's a lot of supplements out there that are marketed and advertised and don't do anything or aren't that helpful. Creatine is extremely helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Some supplements might just have this little placebo effect, but honestly, creatine is the most studied supplement out there. And you know me, I will never push something that I don't believe in or I don't use. And I've done my research on it. I saw also the effects that it had on my body and the increase of my muscle mass, which clearly doesn't come from the creatine itself. Like the creatine is helping you restore your ATP energy pathway, right? So that you have more energy for your workout. And this is all correlated as well with a healthy diet. So your workout, the creatine, a healthy diet, all of those put together is the reason why you're seeing this massive change and drastic change in your body composition. And the creatine, for people that aren't taking it, being a female, we need to understand that when you're reaching your 30s, your 40s, our bodies are changing, we're losing more bone density, our muscles are weakening, and they can start to deteriorate, especially if we're not doing any sort of weightlifting and we're not eating enough proteins. All right, guys, for any comments, any other information or questions you guys might have, make sure to comment below. And Sylvia and I are going to be doing this quite often. So we're excited, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.